Yes, want it. Anybody here? Help me preach it. Help me preach to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, don't be shy. I know you got some wanting woman moments. I know that you can tell the Lord, thank you for what he's done. There are so many things that I can tell you about, but all I got to say is that I know so much. I know so much about the world that don't amount to anything, but I got some things I do know. I may not know three things, but I may not know two things, and I may not know but one thing. But one thing I do know is I know he's all right. Anybody know it? I say, anybody know it? Anybody tried him? Don't you know he's able? He's able to give you peace in the midst of your storm. He's able to pick you up, turn your life around. Say yeah, say yeah. I know he's all right. Anybody here? If you know he's all right, I've been through trials. I've been through adversity, but I confronted the situation. I stayed in prayer. I got in the word. I didn't murmur. I didn't complain. I didn't blame other folks for what I'm going through, but I looked at the situation and said, oh, that's a trial. I know he's all right. Oh, that's some tribulation. I know he's all right. There's some persecution. I know he's all right. Anybody here know that he's all right? All right to live with. All right to die with. He's all right. Say yeah. Say yeah. And he all right. And he all. And he all right. Yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. I just wait. The enemy tells you, you need to get up and go. The enemy tells you, don't wait on this. You better hurry up. Tell your enemies, I'll just wait. The pressure's on, but I'll just wait. They pushing on me, and they pulling on me. I'm in a tug of war, but I'll just wait. Because if I wait, the Lord will make a way out of no way. Open doors, closing my face. Anybody been there? Has the Lord been good to you? Has he been a bridge over troubled water? Has he been a friend when you had no friends? Has he been a mother to the motherless? Has he been the honey in the rock? Has he been bread in a starving land? Well, if he's been all of that to you, I dare you to stand on your feet and help me close. What do we mean by close? It's at the end of the sermon. The pastor celebrates because it gets good to him. Hopefully it gets good to you. Ain't nobody happy but me. I refuse to believe that. So help me close it and tell your neighbor, in case you didn't know, he'll be right there with you. Won't he do it? If you're sick in your body, he will.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do. Stand to your feet. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 7. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this time of sharing your word with us. Let the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching, preaching ministry meet us in the text and then tell of the truth that we're teaching today, so that every hearer's heart might hear you and heed you and have what you say. We give you all praise, glory, and honor for what you shall do in this place and in this people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. St. Mark chapter 7, I want to begin at verse 24, recorded are these words. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. When she spoke that last word to Jesus, he literally said, like the song says, it's already done. Yes, listen at this, because I want to talk about the parents' privilege. Parents' privilege. This was this mother's prerogative to go before the Lord Jesus Christ as a parent to intercede on behalf of her daughter about the condition of being possessed with the devil. One of the things that I think in the arsenal of parents that they so oftentimes forget is the power that they have as a parent in being able to go on behalf of their children before the Lord. It is amazing that when I was a child, it was the parents who brought and led the children into doing things, and now today it's the children who lead and bring many of the parents to church and cause them to be engaged in many things. How has time made a difference and a change, and not necessarily for the better? So oftentimes, parents, because of the worldly influence and the power of so many mediums where children are influxed with so many different kinds of information and so many different kinds of attacks, that parent feels many times helpless and even sometimes hopeless to be able to control and to bring into subjection the reality of the things that their child faces or children faces, And yet, though they may not be able to control all of the extenuating circumstances that come before them, if they understood the right and the position that God gives to them, he or she or they are able to cover their children and to bring into that place spiritually that protection that parents have been given the blessed assurance of being able to do because of their relationship not only with God but as God honors the family structure. It's interesting because when we look at this world today and when we look at what our children face today and again how they have to deal with so much that many of us who are older did not have to deal with quite as much, and with so many different attacks from so many different ways that they have to deal with today, a mother, a father, a family today must surely be prayed up and prepared and prepare their children for what they will face. Used to be a time you could send your child to school and expect them to learn. Now you send them to school, you don't know if they'll be shot and killed. And you get a call at work that this has happened because of all of the things that go on. And not someone necessarily from without the school, but within the school. I mean, even in the home used to be a haven, a safe place. But children are molested and taken advantage of and done all kinds of wrongs and evils within the confines of the home. And so there are so many different things that go on today that seem to be overwhelming. But may I assure the parents today, God hears the prayers of the parents. Don't give up your privilege. Don't give up your prerogative to cover your children in prayer so that God would encamp angels around your children. You need to know you have a word in what affects your child's life. So many children are given a breakfast and sent off to school, but no spiritual protection. They got food in their belly, but no spiritual covering over their lives. Don't recognize, don't realize that they've got a right to be able to denounce, to come against, to rebuke the ills of the enemy. Just because all the other children are doing it, don't mean you've got to do it. You've got to be able to fortify your children with the word of God and the ability to say no when no is the right answer. Let's go into the text because I want you to see some things about this woman, how she takes her privilege as a parent before the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to understand some things. As the text will reveal, this woman was not a Jew. This woman was not privileged to the promises made to the Jews, but this woman was a parent. And she came before the Lord Jesus first in an intercessory role. Look at the word and go into the text with me. Verse 24 says, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be here." Now he started about 30 miles up from north from Israel, going up to Tyre and Sidon. These were port cities where they were wealthy cities with port trades, etc. Jesus wanted to make clear that though these places had become wicked and had become very perverse, that there was still hope for them. And so on his way to preach the message of purity and of righteousness and of goodness, he runs into this place now where he's not ready to be discovered by the masses. And so he goes into this house and he's hoping that he could enter in anonymity. But something about your light when it shines, folk will see it. And so as he goes in hoping that no one would see him, that he would be hid, verse 25 says, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." Now, she heard of him. Her daughter's at home possessed with a demon, and her daughter couldn't go, wouldn't go, and she goes on behalf of her daughter. And she falls at the feet of Jesus, begging mercy for her daughter. Look at what the Bible says in verse 26. "The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter." Now, she came, again, interceding with a purpose in mind because she wanted her child delivered. Now, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, you may not know where demons come from and how they get into your children, but you do have a word about getting them out of them. You don't know who their friends are, who the contacts are, what places they've been around, how the enemy has entered in. But what you do need to know is you don't have to leave them in. When they come under your roof, those demons are subject to the authority of the head of that house. And if that head of that house is connected with the Lord himself and that person knows his or her privileges, then they need to know that when you come into this place, you're subject to the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen at this. Whatever the issues were with her daughter, she recognized that this was more than a social issue. This was more than the child just being disobedient. For the Bible says in Colossians 3:20, right on your program, children, obey your parents. Listen at this. In all things, not some things. In all things. For the word says, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Now, you know, you got young folk today, I mean, they think that they can be selective in what they obey the parent in. Let me make it perfectly clear, young people. You, according to the word of God, ought to obey your parents in all things. I don't care if you think they don't know and they're old folk and they don't have no idea about the modern times and the stuff that you're going through. Yeah, maybe the name of the game has changed, but it's still the same old mess. And don't fool yourself. They know a whole lot more than you think they know. And it's amazing how God knows how to let parents get a hold of information and discover stuff they ain't even looking for. Lord, I wish I had some parents to say amen. Well, Mom, what you looking in my room for? I wasn't looking for nothing, but I came in to put in some stuff. And it just happened that I fell my eyes on it. But this is my room. I want privacy. You don't pay no bills here. You don't lock no doors here. Everything up in here is subject to me. See, parents used to tell children, ain't but one man up in this house. Ain't but one woman up in this. You ain't gonna cuss me, fuss me, eat my food, experience my goodness, and think you gonna have your way and stay here. No, baby, let the doorknob hit you where the good Lord. I wish, but we're scared of the children today. We can't beat them today, excuse me, correct them. That's the problem right now, they need a good beating. I don't care what you say. The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. I preached on that message once. Some people said, well, you know what? We ought not beat our children. Oh, really? You know why we got some of the troubles we've got with some of the children we've got today? Because I want to let you know timeout don't work for everybody. Little Johnny, sit down in the corner. This is my third time. Don't make it my fourth time. Parents back in the day said, wait, don't let me have to tell you a second time. I told you one, ain't gonna be all that third and fourth and fifth time and all of that mess. No, whatever was handy. Give me your belt. Wait a minute. Take off a shoe, pick up a broom. They had it so under control, all they had to do was look. Don't make them do this. I know that seems comical to us today because we don't do that today. But some parents know what I'm talking about because they came out of that era. Oh, Now listen, 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 listen. Whatever the issues were, the woman realized that this wasn't normal. That was another force, another power, another spirit possessing this child. It was more than a natural thing. This was a supernatural thing. Because when I tell you, parents know their children. They know their limitations. They know many things about them. But when you know something is just not your child, when you know there is a major difference, a turnaround, something that's just not right, and you can't deal with it, put your hands on it, handle it, you've got a higher power that you can go to. Listen at this word, because I want you to see this. The Bible says, verse 26 again, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. She couldn't do it. And parents, may I be honest with you, there are just some things you can't do. But isn't it good to know that you're connected to the one who can? Hallelujah. Amen. Look again at what the verse says in 27. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. Now she comes in intercession, but Jesus informs her of the protocol. Because what he was trying to teach the disciples, to teach the nation of Israel, was that God had come to provide for the children what he had promised them. And so it was theirs first to receive, and other Gentile nations and others to follow after the children had gotten what was promised to them. And so as he's teaching this, he's making clear to the woman. In other words, he's literally saying, woman, get in line. The children have got to get theirs first. He was not being disrespectful. He was setting a structure, an order up, helping her to understand the protocol and how it should be done. So as he informs her of this structure, of this order, recognizing that she is not a daughter of Abraham, recognizing that she is not heir to the promise, recognizing that she was a Greek, he was within his right to help her understand, I'm not saying I can't help you, but it's not your turn. Now listen at this. The woman could have gotten an attitude, but when Jesus uses the imagery of a dog, the woman who comes for help does not take an attitude with him about the imagery he chooses to use, but rather following the same structure of the imagery, recognizing that it doesn't matter about all of that. I came to get my daughter delivered. And so many times we lose our focus on what it is we really want, what we really come to the Lord for, what we really petitioned the Lord, because things that circumvent perhaps our attention moves us away from the real reason we go before the Lord. This woman made it her business because she had heard of Jesus, his ability to cast out demons, and she wanted a personal audience with him to do for her daughter what only he was able to do. Jesus tells her, listen, listen, I ain't saying I can't help you. I'm just trying to say I can't help you now, because I've got to feed the children first, and whatever is left over, it'll be given to dogs. Now, again, this was a common term. So, again, the woman was not offended by the term, as many of us would be offended by that term. Dogs be about, you know, ready to act crazy. You know, and tell the Lord, but we ain't got to be talking to me like that. And I could go on, but I've been there before, you understand what goes there. But listen to this. I want you to see what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 28, and she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Now Jesus, listen at this, because as he's informing her and he's giving her the protocol, she takes again the same imagery and begins to break down to him the fact that she still wants what she came there for. She says, okay, you're right, I can't argue with you there. The children eat first and whatever goes afterwards, the dogs get. She said, but the dogs that sit under the table, referencing small dogs, house pets, those who were extended members of the family, they got to eat, but not at the same time, the same food that the family ate. They did get the scraps of the filet mignon, the pork chops or whatever it is. Well, not Jews wouldn't eat pork chops, but thinking about my own diet. But all of the things that they ate, you know, the dogs would get the leftover, the scraps for them. And so it was about the dogs waiting their turn. Putting in perspective, listen, you're going to get yours, just wait your turn. But then she makes an observation that Jesus could not argue with, an observation that inspired Jesus about this woman's faith and tenacity to get the deliverance for her child that she had come to the Lord to receive. She says, yes, Lord, yet the dogs, the little bitty dogs under the table, they hang around the children, because the children, through many times the messiness of their eating, would drop food. Miss the mouth, food go, little dog right there, eat it up. And then as the children grow older and there are things they did not want to eat on the plate, and the little dog, they would drop it under the table, and the little dog right by their feet would eat up everything that they would take off of the table and put there even before the family dinner was finished. Now, here is her point. You're right. This belongs to the children of Israel. You're right. But because, listen at this, her faith connected her with faith issues, Jesus understood this woman's cry, her appeal, her desire, and connected with her faith and honored her. As a matter of fact, the other place in Scripture where Jesus was impressed and impacted by somebody's faith wasn't even a Jew also. Come on. A Roman soldier who had heard about Jesus and wanted his servant healed, went to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal his servant. And Jesus said, well, come on, I'll go with you. He said, no, sir. No, I'm a man of authority. I have people under me. I say to this man, go here. He goes to this one, comes. He said, listen, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. Jesus said, no great faith in all Israel has he ever heard like that one. Listen, so faith connected him to that Roman, who then gave to him his desire that his servant would be healed. And he told him it was already done. By the time he got back to his house, his servant was healed. Here comes a Greek woman now. She's saying, yes, Lord, I know it belonged to the Jews, but the Jews reject your blessings, and I just want to get a little bit of what they throw away. Somebody's not hearing me yet. And that impacted Jesus. That impressed Jesus. Jesus makes clear in the word, because of this saying, so oftentimes you never miss your water till your well run dry. So oftentimes we take for granted the things that we have and have been blessed to have. So oftentimes we miss what is right before us as the blessing that God has for us. So oftentimes we don't realize that because we've been blessed, we ought to be the most grateful, the most praiseful, the most worshipful people, but we act like we don't care. And this struck a chord in Jesus. And Jesus said, yes, you're right. It's not necessarily your turn. And it may not necessarily be your time. But because of your faith, because of what you have said, because I understand and identify with that desire of yours to have your daughter delivered. And it is not her privilege, but it was through faith of this mother that, please,